Blog Talk Radio.
Hijabs, hoodies, afros, locks, teddy bear liquor bottle shrines, rocks, tanks, prayer rugs, church pews, Mexican corn stands, blood, sweat, and tears, police batons, gas masks, and bullets create graffiti on corners, murals that salute freedom or death for liberty, be it Inglewood or Egypt, Bed-Stuy or Baghdad, Syria or Liberia, the West Bank or the West Side of Chicago, where food and liquor stores still occupy the block, while police and community watchmen justify why they shot Emmett Till, Malice Green, Rekia Boyd, and Trayvon Martin, better not wear that hoodie while shopping for a carton of whatever they're selling in your food desert, because your soul is dessert and will be dissected and consumed on the Fox Evening News, while we sing the blues the new Jim Crow caged bird sings. Because he's tired of occupying his misery and of our marching. He want to fly to a higher consciousness, but his school on academic probation. They gave him medicine, diagnosed him with a felony and mental retardation. So he refuses to cease the firing. Nobody's hiring. In Illinois, 67 is a new age when you retiring. Class lines have blurred. Those who used to have not. Pensions being snatched. Those who never had keep their hands stretched. Social services being cut. Sterilization clinics giving out pills to numb the womb. Young girls referring to their vaginas as tombs. Thinking protests are temporary and trendy. We'll rock a t-shirt and carry a poster and 2 weeks later it's back to normal. But they say times are changing. The revolution is becoming second nature. Causes are combining. People carrying torches. Hope burning from their hands. Attaching explosive devices because they keep stealing their lands. In the name of freedom. Hijabs. Hoodies. Afros. Locks. Teddy bear liquor bottle shrines, rocks, tanks, prayer rugs, church pews, Mexican corn stands, blood, sweat, and tears, police batons, gas masks, and bullets create graffiti on corners.
I believe in the light that shines and will never die. Oh, I believe the fire burns, we stay alive.
Souls of those in need, I bleed the blood of the struggle, walking over trouble puddles, hustles in my chest, no hustle, no progress, extremities of life in this process, birth of a son, death of another, with love I caress both mothers, and told them, who's in control is the one that's above us, I walk where money talks and love stutters, body language of a nation, going through changes, the young become dangerous, pain gets spent in the anger, anger gets sent through the chamber, it's tough when you own look like strangers, we are the sons of gangsters and stone rangers, if you could, how about Ernie Brown paint us, look at the picture, hard not to blame us, but time forgives, and it's time where the young die often, do they end up in a coffin, because we haven't talked them, is it what we talking, we really ain't walking, dudes hustlers pay, how much did it cost them, find myself on the same corner that we lost them, real talking, in their ear like a Walkman, thoughts been around the corner, to the world, when I see them, I see my baby girl, believe, believe,
I believe in the light that shines and will never die.
Becomes a means to get it by any way necessary under pressure. Children feeling less than, but still up on the dresser. Killing will aggressive. Destiny children, survivors, soldiers. In front of buildings, they eyes look older. Hard to see blessings in a violent culture. Face against weapons, sirens, holsters. That ain't the way that ranks the youth wrote up. Soul controllers on the shoulders of Moses and Noah. We go from being precious to Oprah. Cultivated to overcome ever since we came overseas today. In the way that you can see to be determined. Solar keeps burning, shorties know to keep learning. Lessons in our life, but life tries to be earning. Took Gramps' advice that Christ is returning. Like a thief in the night, I write for beacons of light. For those of us in dark alleys, park valleys, street hits, spark rallies of the conscious conquerors of a concept that seems beyond us. Even through the unseen, I know that God watches. From one king's dream, he was able to barack us. The prophets, nothing can stop us.
I believe in the light that shines and will never die. Oh, I believe.
They will talk about.
Good evening, and welcome to EIE, Save Our Children Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, founder and president of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children, Tony Nix. Tonight, we're going to be talking about an issue we have in America. I want to know what your comments and thoughts, your experience, whatever you have to bring. We're talking about racism and prejudice in the world. Who are the worst offenders? And when do we as a people realize that we're all part of the human race? That's what we're talking about tonight. Our call-in number is 4242589271. The chat room is also open. Feel free to leave your comments. They will be answered in accordance with how they come in. Also, when you do call in, be aware of background noise, such as TVs, children, dogs, cats, whatever, for the show is being taped, and I'd like a clear taping. We're live on the air right now. You're listening to EIE, Save Our Children Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Tony Nix. Call in, be part of the conversation tonight. We're talking about racism and prejudice. Who are the worst offenders who practice this? Is it you? Is it me? Is it us as a whole? Do we all fall short at times? Well, tonight, I hope we're going to find out. I see the lines are starting to fill up. I'm going to go with my first caller, a brother who he always has some input on issues such as this. Sometimes you agree, sometimes you disagree, but that's all right. That's what makes us who we are. But I do respect his view and knowledge. And without further ado, I'm going to bring him on, a brother named Alvin, believe it or not, Nix. Good evening, brother Alvin. How are we doing tonight?
Good evening, Tony. How are you doing?
All right. Thanks for calling in. I see this topic tonight drew you in, and I'm so glad, you know. Generally, you know, I really don't have no guests, I really have no special guest, but whoever calls in do become a guest, so all of my callers are a guest, so I really want to thank you for calling in. I mean, on our topic tonight, I mean, what's your view? I saw a couple of things you wrote earlier, and I pleaded with you to call in, and you did. You want to expound on the topic and what you wrote about a little while ago?
Well, Tony, what I was telling you was this. The first quantitative study of prejudice was done at Princeton University in 1933. It's called the Katz and Brearley Experiment. It was an adjective selection technique with 100 students, and they asked them to write down the 10 characteristics of every ethnic group they listed. For example, of that 100, 84 said that blacks or Negroes were superstitious. That study was replicated in 1951 and again in 1967. And those who assessed it said, well, there's not a consensus anyway. It seems like prejudice may be changing. Well, I disagreed with the methodology because it was all or nothing. And I also disagreed that it was always one-sided. So I did some research and wrote my senior thesis. And the title is called Stereotypes versus Attitudes, New Perspectives on Racial Prejudice. What I found is they found black students who did the same thing, same corresponding time period. Their assessments are totally different. So what I did is I designed an experiment. To test this out, I said prejudice is a function of visibility because of the fact that I did a research and found that there was a study done of groups. And one of the groups was homogeneous, white male. They separated them out and they gave them a title, Rattlers versus the Eagles. They broke down into name calling, attributions, and the rest. There's no functional difference, no visible difference, but they did this. And I asked the question, what happens if skin tone is perceived? But there is a functional difference in appearance. So I gave black subjects and white subjects the same scale, but not an all or nothing assessment, a semantic differential with degrees. They were asked to rate the degree of which they considered this to be characteristic of the group in question. The next step we did was to test out whether there was some type of game going on where they wouldn't really assess their true feelings. So we showed them pictures of people for 5 seconds where they used the same scale to assess the people they saw. Now, these were 2 weeks apart. First, it was the group name. Then there was the pictures that were assessed. So it was a week apart from each of them. What I found in one case, I'll say this, for the black subjects, they tended to rate the white ethnic group name and the white picture even. In other words, their publicly expressed attitude and their cognitively held attitude were somewhat similar. But what I found out for the white subjects, they tended to rate the black ethnic group name more positively than the picture of the black individual. Now, if they only saw that picture for 5 seconds, what's going on here? 5 seconds is enough time for you to perceive skin tone. And that's what I'm saying. Prejudice is a function of visibility. Prejudice is also a statement of preference. What happens with stereotypes is stereotypes provides the justification for holding one's stereotype attitude or prejudicial attitude.
Okay. Well,
are we making
all right.
Here?
Yeah, I'm following you. I don't understand it all, but pretty much I do. Because right now you're basing your comments on prejudice and not racism. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay.
See, the racism
right.
comes as a severe form of justifying or hardening myself. Boom. There's an attitudinal component with that racism.
Right.
But it all
okay.
starts off preferential. We all have that.
Wow. Alvin, who would you feel is the worst offenders of prejudice? Let's re-ask that question.
Well, you know, we always take a look at the Ku Klux Klan, but we also have to face what happened at the Rodney King verdict, where the people beat that guy in Los Angeles.
Okay.
What's the difference? I mean, really, what is the difference? It's basically the same thing.
All right. You can't really get an argument from me on that. I'm quite sure there's some listeners that may disagree, and if they do, I hope they call in. I'll call the numbers 424-258-9271. Press 1. I'll know you're in the queue. But I see your point, Alvin. You know, yes. In that instance, what is the difference? What is the difference? And for me, I mean, I can come up with a difference to justify how people reacted, but at the same time, there's really no difference the way I would see. Okay, that's just
everybody has their degree of prejudice and racism. Me, others.
Exactly.
I think that's face reality of who I am as a human being.
And that takes some self-honesty, I truly believe. And a lot of us lack that. That takes some real self-honesty about who I am as an individual. Because I can make you believe this or believe that, but I truly know who I am. And
yeah.
I think a lot of us lack that true honesty. Because of don't want to tell yourself the truth, denial, or afraid to be seen by people to know who you really are, period. You know? I'm going to go to my next caller. Alvin, stand by. Don't go anywhere.
Yes.
I got Brother Gary out of Georgia. G-Man, how we doing tonight?
I'm okay. How you doing? Thank you for having us on your show.
Oh, thank you for being on, Gary. I know you was listening to Brother Alvin. What did you think, man? I think he really broke it down, you know, for me, you know.
I understood a lot of what he said, and you know, I can see where he was going with it, and in general, I would agree with most of it, and you know, I believe that you know, essentially, I think we all kind of you know have a preconceived notion about either it's ourselves or other races, you know, it could be stereotypes or whatever, you know, belief systems we were raised on, you know, we all kind of like, they say that, you know, your first impression is what people see. It goes a long way with that as a truth, you know, because people perceive you as how you appear, how you dress. And, of course, that's why we teach our kids to dress, you know, more professional looking, because you don't want to look this way or you don't want to look that way, because that is the way society perceives us, how we look. And so I think we have to get beyond the perception of appearance. And like you said, it's visual. You know, when we see a certain race or we see a certain people, then we, based on the way we were raised and based on our perceptions, we actually, you know, judge that person based on that, you know, which is really unfortunate before we get beyond the skin tone.
Well, Gary, you know, the question I'm posing, you know, the bottom, who are the worst offenders of racism and prejudice?
I can't really say that. The one thing I know is that we have some, I don't know whether you would call it racism, but we have some prejudices within our own communities, unfortunately. You know, Well, I'm saying when we hear the word racism, we think of it as, for the most part, more than one race. You know, and if we're perceiving it as, say, for instance, like it would be okay, whether it's white and black or Asian and black or something like that. But I don't think it's the same type of what you would call racism in our own communities. But we do have preconceived notions of each other. And I mean, in that light, we do. We do have preconceived notions about each other. So, I mean, if we go somewhere and we see someone that looks a certain way, we assume that that person may be this or that person may be that. So I think we're all guilty of it. And, you know, because of those...
Well, hold on. I think we're all guilty of both. Prejudice goes a long way. You know, people will be prejudiced because you're too short, you're too tall, or you're perfect, or you're too fat, too slim. You know, too smart, too dumb. There we got prejudice. You know, it is practiced in all forms, which, again, so is racism. So are we all equal in being offended? Or is there a group of us, Latino, black, Indian, white, Asian, who are worse offenders than everybody else? That's what I'm trying to find out tonight. Stand by, Gary. Don't go anywhere. We're going to continue this briefly. I just want to take a short break, gather a few things in my head here, and we'll be right back. So don't go anywhere. Stand by.
Oh, there they go. There they go.
Due to the overwhelming amount of listener requests, the Reggie Bullock Radio Hour will be expanding to three shows a week.
Reggie Bullock Radio Hour.
Every Wednesday night, 7 to 8 p.m., Barbershop Talk. Call in and express your views.
Every time I start talking about boxing.
Uncensored.
I met Dr. Martin Luther King once. You lied.
Wednesday night, 7 to 8 p.m.
He beat Joe Lewis's ass.
That's right, he did whoop Joe Lewis's ass.
On Thursday night, join us for Lenny's Life Lessons.
A former All-State basketball player and now a father, radio personality Leonard Miller shares his youthful wisdom as the co-host of the Reggie Bullock Radio Hour on Thursday nights. On Friday, join us for Harv's Funny Friday. In the tradition of Richard Pryor and Eddie Murphy, comedian Harvey Knowles starts your weekend off right with 1 hour of laughter on Friday night from 7 to 8. And it all starts June 6th. Two new co-hosts, three incredible shows on the Reggie Bullock Radio Hour.
For years, black folks said America was the enemy. Now black folks leaving black folks dead in the streets. Exploit Trayvon Martin because he looks just like me. Engaging black on black crime, you consider a G. We cannot separate the real from the fake. I'm the shark, you the bait. Only those real could relate. But sometimes I think we already chose our fate. But deep inside, I pray it's not too late. It's hard to see a black child killed by a black man. Then an older black man blame the white man. Young black man bang on the trigger, but all he wanna do is just kill another. Now I'ma sell out cause I speak the truth. The only reason why I rap to get this message to you. I don't know what else to do to get through. I made the first move, now it's all on you.
Children dying and people crying. What's going wrong, wrong, wrong in the world? Why are you trust when everyone around you lying? What's going wrong, wrong, wrong in this world?
It is evil.
We're talking about racism and prejudice. Who are the worst offenders? You're listening to EIE, Save Our Children Blog Talk Radio. Our call-in number tonight is 424-258-9271. I have some callers on the line. If you've been listening, you have something you would like to chime in with, please feel free to call in. Press 1. I know you're in the queue because I want to know who is the worst offenders of prejudice and racism in the world, not just here in America, but in the world. If you've got some comments, experience, or knowledge on this, or some disagreement, feel free to call in. Our chat room is open. Please leave the comments. They will be answered as they come in. But I'm going to get back to my phone lines, and then I'm going to go into the chat room and read some of the comments that have been left. I got Brother Alvin and Brother Gary. Their microphones are muted at the moment. I'm going to bring in our next caller, brother out of the West Coast, one of my favorite friends, mentor and a scholar, Brother Doc Scott out of the West Coast. Welcome, Doc. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, brother.
So what's your take on tonight's topic, Doc? I know you got some stuff you want to share with us. You know, we're talking about racism and prejudice and who are the worst offenders.
Hey, I was wondering, has Miss Cindy called in yet?
Not as yet, Doc. Not as yet.
Well, she usually chimes in on a subject like this. Hey,
well, you know what? To be honest, okay, she's in the chat room and she says, "Hey, Doc, I promise to behave tonight." Okay, so she's here with us. But anyway, Doc, I mean, what's your view? Because, see, you know, one of the things I know you talk about is no matter what race we are all the human race. So I'm glad you called in because I know you got some stuff to give us on this topic.
Yeah, I have a pretty world view on this when it comes to race. There's only one race that's called human. And so this spreads for everybody. It's like one spread for everybody. And so the offenders are all of us. We're all culprits in this crime. And so I don't know who the worst. The enemy, it's us. And so... If I were going to, I can't pick any particular group. It's a human condition. And so we're born into this thing, and I think it's a learned behavior. And so with this learning, I think you can relearn this particular condition. And so it's a matter of what do you do with it once you've learned it, and so how do you relearn this particular condition? And so education to me is the key in dealing with racism and prejudice. And so it's like our model that my wife and I developed, we call the journey model. And probably the most important key to this particular condition is awareness and getting to the level of awareness. And as long as people are unaware, you're not going to change this particular condition in racism. So that's it in a nutshell. And as long as people are unaware, you're not going to change this particular condition. So that's all I have to say for now. And I don't want to take over the conversation because I don't know where you're at up to this point.
Well, we're still early in the show, Doc, you know, and I'm going to try to share time equally with everyone. But I want to read a comment that a lady left wrote in the chat room. She says that we are all capable of being prejudiced, but racism is taking place by a person, group, corporation who has the power, money, and resources others don't have. And I believe this is, and stop or block a certain race from obtaining equal or the same services or whatever may be available, such as. I mean, what's your comments on that? Doc?
She's right in that. It's about power. Power over. Yeah, I think she's right. I agree with her.
Wow. You know? A few people are agreeing with her in the chat room. Listen, I'm going to go back to the mics. I got Alvin on hold. I want to bring him back in. Brother Alvin, are you still there?
Yes, I am, Tony.
Did you hear the comment that I just read from the chat room?
Yes.
What's your view on
it? I agree
with
it as well. Yeah, there are people who use power for tangible things, whether it's position or acquiring material things and the rest, to try to put down somebody. But I thought both Gary and Doc from California were excellent in what they had to share, too. I mean, I really enjoyed it. And I was thinking, and I want to share this with you. I lived in Michigan for 8 years, in the rural part of Michigan. The standing joke was there are 2,000 people, there are only 5 blacks. So we used to say corn, cows, and Caucasians.
I'm and sorry, Alvin. Okay.
I'm making fun of it, but something happened there that was very important. I stayed with the family for the first 2 weeks there. They had 3 children. The youngest one was 3. The oldest was 10. Neither parent had a brother. So they were talking to this about having an uncle. And the first person all 3 of them says is we want Alvin Nix as our uncle. And they were Caucasian.
Really?
These boys now 18, 21, and 24. I consider myself to be the uncle of these boys. I love them as much as they were if they were naturally born to me. Because we can transcend. But it takes relationship to do that. Not pointing the fingers and pointing at each other.
And you know, I'm listening. And, you know, I think everybody has said it, you know, we're all equal in who's being the worst offender of racism and prejudice. Now, I don't think that everybody believes that personally. You know, some want to blame it on white folks, some want to blame it on Asians, they want to blame it on blacks, you know, when... What I'm hearing is we're all at fault. You know, and I'm looking for who's the more extreme, and I'm really not getting that. You know, I'm hoping someone call in. Again, the call-in number is 424-258-9271. Press 1. I know you're in the queue. I'll bring you in on the conversation. But if you do feel that way, please call in and share with us or type it in the chat room, and I will say your comment over the air. I know this is a touchy issue for some, and for some it's hard to get real honest, you know. I got another comment in the room. She's saying racism, but I'm trying to understand what she really means by it. I'm hoping she'll call in and expound on it. And also, yes, I would like a lady to call in because this is not just a gentleman's conversation. But I'm just trying to get another view besides the view that we have. I'm going to go back to Gary, who's been on hold, and let him make a comment. Brother Gary, are you there?
I'm still here.
Yeah, I didn't want to leave you out in limbo there. So based on what you've heard so far, you know, what are your thoughts?
I agree on what the doctor said, and I also agree on what the other gentleman said, and also the comment that you read from the lady online there. I agree with what they said, and I guess you asked who's the worst of the offenders of this, and then I would say that once again that would mean pointing the finger, and they may say have the same conversation and point a finger at us. So, you know, like I heard earlier, you know, it would just lead to the finger pointing and never resolve the issue, which is that we're all, you know, it is a learned behavior, and we're all, you know, I mean, when we're born, we're not born with these, you know, feelings, you know, these racisms, these hatreds. We're not born with them. Kids play together of all races. You know, there's none of that when you're small. You know, I mean, you grow up and then you change to these different ideologies of each other, and that's what, you know, generally gets us to the point where we are now. Like the doctor said, we have to re-educate ourselves, and we have to start teaching at an early age. You know, it has to be taught. And in another sense, and I'm going to be brief, I don't take up too much of your time, but in another
sense. We got plenty of time. Don't worry about it.
Okay. I think that, you know, it's a thin line because, you know, every race wants to better their own race or bring their own people forward and so on and so forth. Okay, let's say with jobs, okay? A lot of different races, Asians, and I'm not trying to pick on any race, so I don't want to offend anybody, but Asians, Indians, other races, they have the family businesses. They hire their own. They come in our communities, they hire their own and so on and so forth. But nobody ever calls them racist or anything like that. But, you know, every other race does that. You know, they hire their own. If with my company, if I hire predominantly black people who work for my company, does that make me a racist because I hire predominantly black people? No, I don't feel that it necessarily does. So we have to look at all aspects of it.
Well, Gary, you know, you brought up something, and I'm just going to touch on it briefly. But you're saying how, you know, other races hire their own. Okay, and black businesses, the few that we have, we don't, I think we're prejudiced against our own. We won't hire our own for a lot of various reasons. Stealing, you know, is one of the biggest, you know. Lazy. So we display a prejudice against our own.
And
I think it's kind of like a, I don't know. I could be wrong. A catch 22 here. I'm not sure. You know, I understand your point, though. When it comes to our communities, businesses come into our communities, and they hire their own. They don't hire us. And is that because of prejudice, or is it because of race? We're going to find out. I'm going to my next call. I finally got a lady to call in, a good friend of mine. Let me welcome her to the show. Good evening, Miss Cindy. How you doing?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for calling in. So you know we're talking about racism and prejudice. Who are the worst offenders? And
well, you know what? I would like to start with the greatest recipient.
Ooh, okay. Here we go.
Okay, I want to flip it. I want to start with the greatest recipient, and I would have to say African Americans. Take a look at the presidential election race that we had just last month. Most of the commentary evolved around the man, not the issues that were on the table. To me,
okay,
that's very concerning, very concerning. With President Barack Obama, he has received several threats on his life. Most of those folks are still roaming the streets of the neighborhood in which they reside. Previous presidents that had a threat on their life were locked up immediately and or placed in some mental health institution. When you start talking about, I can go on. I told Doc, I'm trying to behave tonight. I'm trying to be a good girl here.
Speak on it. This is what the show's about. You know my show. Speak on it.
When you start talking about who's the most racist, I don't know that we have ever sat out and just labeled a group of people as useless eaters, of having no worth on this earth. So when you have a group of folks that can blatantly just simply state that this group of folks over here basically has no worth, no value, and many African Americans are treated as such on a day-to-day basis. If you listen to Rush Limbaugh, if you listen to a few of the other, nationally known or syndicated talk shows, they have no problem with referring to useless eaters. Most people don't know who they're talking about.
Right.
But they say it across the air like it's nothing. I mean, they just as well just use the N-word and everything else.
Well, you know, Miss Cindy, these people that just talk. I'm sorry, go ahead. No, finish up. I'll wait.
What was your question?
Just chiming in on which is these folks, that's their job. They are paid to do that. That is what they do. They are paid to do that. I'm not saying that this is not their personal beliefs, but they are making money off of their view. And the more they put it out there, the more money they make. You know, it doesn't take away from the fact of what you said, because what you said is very true. I have to ask myself, as you're talking about that, how many African-American radio hosts like the Rush Limbaughs and whoever do the same thing and are not scrutinized or taken off the air? I need to ask that.
We had several news anchors, African-American news anchors and radio talk show hosts who made very minor comments regarding Romney and a few other politicians, and basically it was stated that it was their personal opinion, and as a result, they were terminated. And I wish I was sitting in front of my computer or had my notes. I would share the names with you. But over the last 2-3 years, we've had several news anchors that was terminated. as a result of their commentary that was perceived to be negative remarks as it relates to, different politicians.
Wow. So, okay. Well, stand by with that thought, because I want to bring Brother Alvin back in on the conversation. Brother Alvin, you're back in live. Have you been listening to Miss Cindy?
Yes, I have.
What do you think about what she just said?
You know, one of the things that came to mind is this. I think she's right, yeah, because the fact, predominantly things have happened to blacks, and we have been wounded. Yeah, that's the whole thing. There's a woundedness, and so we see all things through a lens now. But it is happening because of the fact that there are others who have said things. Now, I'm not going to get into politics, the whole thing. I mean, I realize who the President of the United States is. That's fine. I took a look at it. I also took a look at his record, and I think I have better qualifications to be president than he does, but that's another statement altogether. The thing I would say to you is that this woundedness, if we look under woundedness and we're the only ones being wounded, that's going to cause a whole different reaction from people and even an overreaction. So we get this whole thing going back and forth, tit for tat, emotionally and all the rest. Now, that statement that was made, I think it was a year or two ago, about the Rutgers women's team, basketball teams, about nappy-headed hoes.
Right, I remember that.
That never should have been said, and how that was handled was appropriate.
Well, you know, hold on a second. I have to disagree with that. I don't think that was handled the way it should have been handled. I think this guy should have been banned from the air, okay, which he wasn't, okay? For me, he got a slap on the wrist for that. He got a slap on the wrist for that. That, you know, this is the society we live in. You know, that's realness for me. He got a slap on the wrist. Because I truly believe if it would have been an African American who said that, or a Latino American that said that, there would have been some more severe consequences than what this guy got. I can't think of his name at the moment, than what he got.
Imus.
Right, Imus. That's his name, right. I really think he got a slap on the wrist for that. And I see that happening quite often in sports, dancing and singing. There are comments that are made when it comes to African Americans that folks get a slap on the wrist, or they give an excuse, I shouldn't have said that. Or in the president's case, they've called them some, you know, really outrageous names, racist names. And what do? They don't even really apologize. They say, oh, it sounded like so and so. But that's not what I said. When the reality is, everybody heard you loud and clear. We know what you said. Okay, and they get a pass. That's not right, in my view. That's not right. You know, I have to go along with Ms. Cindy said. You know, who are the work? You know, what group of people are the biggest recipients of racism and prejudice? And you know, I have to admit, it's African American. Hold on a second, Alvin. I want to bring Doc in on this.
Yes.
Doc, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Have you been listening?
Cindy. Yeah, I certainly have. She always hits it right on the head. That's why I checked with her before I came on.
Good.
Yeah, my sister just nailed it. And to go back to what she was, to add some fuel to the fire, something that she said really sparked something in me that we forget. We're the only group out of all the groups that has to have a Voting Rights Act to even vote here in America. So does that make anybody a little bit uncomfortable I mean, to me, we aren't even considered to be a part of this whole system. So that's a little scary to me still. So we still aren't even a part of the fabric of America. So Miss Cindy just hit it. She just knocked this all out of the park. So we are the recipients, the biggest recipients of this whole thing called racism and prejudice here in America, and I think around the world. And people are, we tiptoe through the tulips and around this whole thing, and we're afraid to just slap it in the face and step out there on it and the whole business. I think we should. I'm not afraid to. It's like everybody is afraid to have a courageous conversation about it. It is what it is. And we've been recipients of it for almost 400 years, and that's just the way it is. And it is what it is. And so now, if not now, when? And so she hit it. And so that's all I can say. I don't have anything else to say about it.
Okay. All right. You know, you say add fuel to the fire. Well, I'm bringing Brother Gary back in out of Georgia and see his view on this. Brother Gary, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there. I'm here. Yeah. I'm listening to the commentary, and I pretty much agree for the most part. But what I say, and you probably hear me say it most of the time when we talk, is accountability. You know, if we would come together, then we can change this thing that we call racism. If we would invest in our own communities and so on and so forth, then we could come forward and we could you know, be better as a people. I think, and you mentioned about the Rutgers incident where Imus called those girls nappy-headed hoes. Yet we call our sisters that in rap and music every day. And nobody says,
here we go. Good. I'm sorry, girl.
We call each other bees, hoes, everything else. We have naked women dancing and exploiting our sisters. We do that to ourselves every day. So if we don't start showing that we care for ourselves and stop this craziness of calling each other out of our names and disrespecting each other, then other people are going to feel, hey, he's president, but we can do this. These are girls who are in radio. We can do this. I mean, because they don't respect themselves. They call each other that. You know, so, I mean, I always say accountability, and I think that there is nothing that we could accomplish in society as black people without coming together. We will continue on this road we're going on until we decide to come together. We're going to be treated this way. So I think that we have to have more accountability, and, you know, we have to become stronger as a people overall, and we have to start respecting ourselves before we get respect from other people.
I got to agree with you on that. You know, I agree that we need to definitely respect ourselves more, okay? Us changing doesn't necessarily mean others will change. That I do know, okay, and truly believe. But I know that, yes, before we want to start complaining or saying what others are doing, we need to take a look at what we do to ourselves, and I think you made a very valid point there. I'm going to go back to Miss Cindy and see her view on that. Miss Cindy, are you still there?
Absolutely. I am in total agreement with the gentleman. But we also have to take a look at the mere fact that folks are making money off of young African Americans who choose to compromise their integrity and exploit themselves and their female counterparts. This has become a money-making business. We don't own Sony or I don't know what the new record labels are now, but we don't own any of those. We simply work for them as artists. And so when you talk about a person who is willing to compromise their values, their morals, their integrity, that's very concerning. So when he talk about accountability, absolutely, that's a must. But yet
because,
we look at the go ahead.
Go ahead. No, finish up. I'm sorry.
No, I was simply going to say, but yet we look at the almighty dollar as being the answer, and if we can make money, then it's okay for us to, you know, compromise our values. And so, yeah, we have to make some change within ourselves in terms of thought process.
I agree. Our mindsets need to change. I'm going to go back to Brother Alvin, and then I'm going to take a break. Brother Alvin, are you still there?
Yes, I am, sir.
I know you just heard the comments by Brother Gary and Ms. Cindy about our own accountability. And, you know, what I'm gathering is, we got an issue of self-hate. That's what I'm gathering from their comments, from especially Brother Gary's comments.
African-Americans
have an issue of self-hate.
Well, you know, if you have a bully in the community, if he finds a weaker one and finds that weaker one won't take a stand for himself, yeah, he's going to keep bullying. I mean, this is the whole thing. If we start really building into ourselves. I had lunch today with two families, a total of 7 children, 6 boys, 1 little girl, and the 9-year-old was helping me, and I took him on the side because he was misbehaving, but I didn't try to justify him. I have a disability. I have to walk with a cane. His mother asked him to walk me to the car. He walked, and I put my arm around his shoulder, and I said to him, "You don't like when people yell at you, do you?" He shook his head and said, "No." I said, "No, you don't need to be yelled at. You need to be treated with a lot of respect. Thank you for helping me." See, that one instance of building him up meant more than tearing him down. "Hey, you were acting stupid." No, he doesn't need that. He needs to be built up. It takes one life at a time to change. And that's what we need to start doing in our communities with our kids and with each other. We can't be calling each other these names derogatorily on music and say, "That's my culture." Because that's being taken and said, "If that's your culture, we're going to show you some more and reinforce it." And look back at you and say, "See, you all say it, so why shouldn't we?" But if we stop saying it and say, "No, I'm going to respect my youth, I'm going to respect my elders, I'm going to respect my businesses, I'm going to respect my home, I'm going to respect my streets," and start walking around as people of significance instead of people who are just surviving, I think you'll see a difference.
Wow. Wow. Powerful comments, Brother Alvin. We're going to take a short break. We're going to be right back. You're listening to EIE, Save Our Children Blog Talk Radio. Stand by. We got more to come.
Who are dark up and blue? Don't let us hang around this town and let what others say come true. We're just good for nothing. They all figure a boy should grown up shoot his chin. Now we can't hardly stand for that. Or is that really where it's at? We people who are darker than the blue, we got no time for segregating. Let's talk about brown and yellow too. How young girl, can't you tell? You're just the surface of our dark deep well. If your mind could really see, you'd know your color same as me. Pardon me, brother, as you stand in your glory. I know you won't mind if I tell the whole story.
About racism and prejudice, who are the worst offenders. We've had some very good points made tonight. Our call-in number is 424-258-9271. Press 1. I know you're in the queue. Please feel free to use the chat room, leave your comments, and I will read some of them off over the air so our listeners can know what your thoughts are. I'm going to go to my next caller. Before I do, I got to remind everyone that their mics are on mute. So if you have any comments, please hold them till I bring you back in. I'm going to my next caller. Caller, good evening. How are you?
Hi, this is Greg calling from Nashville, Tennessee.
Good evening and welcome to the show.
Thank you. The topic is always hotly debated. There's a lot of this particular topic on Blog Talk, and it does need to be talked about. It doesn't need to be kept in the closet. So I think you guys are doing a good thing. And my comment goes back to what the gentleman said a moment ago about how we treat ourselves. And one of the most profound realizations that I ever came to about TV and what we're spoon-fed by this media machine called Hollywood is simply this. This is very, very important. Media shouldn't create culture. It should merely reflect it. And what we do is we watch television and we read these magazines and we mistakenly think that we're seeing culture as it actually is. And what we miss is that we're being fed a false culture by people who want to twist our minds, who want to turn us against each other, who want us to not know who we really are. So we think that we just say, well, that's the way it is. They're just reflecting what's going on in the neighborhood. You know, for example, rap. Well, that's just what's happening in the streets. There may be some of that, yes. But that's not the culture that we live in. They're creating this. I'm not saying it's totally fabricated because these things do happen. But what they do is they magnify it to such an extent that we sit there and we think that it's a reflection of culture, and it's not. They're creating it.
I have to agree with you, because they're only being one-sided.
That's exactly right.
Make you believe that particular race of people, they all are the same.
That's exactly right.
100%. 100%.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Good point. Very good point.
I mean, think about it. If you're a movie watcher, up until probably the 70s, the black people could only get one role in Hollywood, and it was usually somebody who wasn't really all that smart. You know, they were a thug, they were a thief. I mean, it was pitiful. It was absolutely pitiful, and that's what they were doing until enough people in that were actors and actresses said, "We're tired of this shit. We want some serious roles. You know, we have creativity, we have imagination, we have passion. We want to show that to the world." And of course, slowly over time, that changed.
Yes, but today there is change in the process. There still is a struggle.
Yes, absolutely. I do not disagree with that. The other point that I wanted to make, and it goes back to self-hate, and this is an amazing quote from a guy named Michael Tesarian. He's an awesome teacher. And he says, "Cruelty to others is well documented. Cruelty to the self is relatively unseen and unacknowledged."
Wow.
And to
wow,
me,
stand
that's
by.
Very,
stand
very
by.
Powerful.
Powerful statement. Powerful statement.
Yes.
This is a great show tonight. If you're listening, please call in 424-258-9271. My guests who are on the line tonight, I mean, they have really brought it to the table. I'm going to go back to one of my guests out of the West Coast, Doc Scott. Doc, are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Did you hear the gentleman who spoke just now? His mic is open also, so say hello.
Hey, hello. How you doing, brother?
Very good.
Yes, Tony?
Yes,
he knocked it out of the park.
Did you hear his statement?
Yes, I certainly did. And he knocked it out of the ballpark. And essentially what he said is he's talking about self-hate, self-hate, and internalized oppression, and it is killing us. It's killing us. We've been preaching it for a couple years now.
Exactly. I think he made some big points on
yes.
the stigmas that are attached to all of us. Not just African Americans, but all of us.
Exactly.
Through various sources, and one of the biggest sources is media. Media, movies, radio, what have you, which for me is part of the propaganda package of the world.
That's right.
That's exactly right. And one of the things that he said that for us that we've been talking about for a couple of years now, Tony, is this media it's twisted, and what happens over time is where it gets you it's so insidious is you internalize it and you wind up with is internalized oppression. And after a while, you're done. You're done. Internalized oppression takes over, and I don't know. We're dealing with it.
Another thing that's very prevalent in Hollywood, and not too many people are talking about this, and you'll see this common theme. It goes back to, like, Married with Children was real popular back in the early 1980s. And they portray the white American male as just this lazy, pot-bellied loser who can't make any decisions without his wife standing over him, treating him like he's 15 years old. And it's actually become popular, like Bart Simpson and all these characters, to just be a total loser if you're a white guy. And so what I'm trying to say is Hollywood is no respecter of who they try to twist. They don't care who you are or what color you are. They want to keep you down.
Exactly. I'm going to bring Ms. Cindy back on, and then I'm going to go to Brother Alvin and Brother Gary, but I know Ms. Cindy's waiting. Ms. Cindy, are you still there?
I am. I just wanted to kind of follow up on what Dead Shepherd, I'm sorry, Greg, was that his gentleman's name?
Yeah.
Greg, I wanted to follow up on the comment that he made as it relates to the media and how it creates culture. Not only does it create culture, but it has a false belief, especially for our young children. When you talk about, and I work with ex-offenders, and I'm going to ask you guys, you know, what are the solutions or how can we turn this thing around? Because as African Americans, we are approximately 14% of the U.S., but we make up 70% of the prison population. Most of the crimes that I see that come before me, either in the courtroom and or in my office, are crimes that are being emulated via video games and or, you know, movies, the videos, what have you. How do we turn this thing around as it relates to our young adults? And getting them to understand that this is not their reality and that you can't live this out.
Okay, that's the question you're putting out there, Miss Cindy?
That's the question, because sometimes I'm kind of at a loss working with our people. And so even when you talk about racism, the new Jim Crow, I mean, you can go on and on about that. But at the end of the day, our young youth are suffering as a direct result of what Greg shared, allowing the media to create a culture for us and this false sense of belief that this is the way that we, not only the way that we live in terms of others' perception, but some folks are beginning to internalize this and live accordingly.
It's being internalized and then living a false dream, because that dream that I hear on some of the urban radio stations, local urban radio stations, all they promote is false riches, guns, and the penitentiary. Nothing else. Like, there's not another side there, you know, we don't love anymore. You know, I know the time with music, you know, you heard a love song, you know, you really internalize that love song. You know, like, wow, that's my song. You know, it makes me think of my wife or my girlfriend or whatever. You know, that's not being promoted like it was. You know, now it's, you know, death and destruction. Stand by. I want to go to Brother Alvin and see his and hear his comments on this. Brother Alvin, are you there?
Yes, I am. You know, I'm listening to everything that's being said. I'm agreeing. I wish we were together to talk, because I would love friendships that I'm hearing here. I will say one thing about myself. I was born clubfoot, a congenital birth defect. My father was an alcoholic. He eventually left my mother. She raised two children on her own. But in taking care of me, she said to me, "Alvin, your feet are crippled, but your mind isn't." That went on from seeing the March on Washington in 1963 when I was 9, 2 years later seeing Princeton University, and coming back home and saying, "Mom, I want to go to school there." spending 7 years to get there, graduating, and then finding out that myself and two other black men, Robert and Gilbert, we are the first black men to have a continuous thing of graduating from junior high school, and Princeton University together. The first time for black men in the history of Princeton University and even the Ivy League. I think it's possible, but we've got to start teaching our kids from the youngest ages how to set goals themselves and their value. And it's not determined by TV. It's not determined by the latest rap record. It's determined by making an investment in them because someone made an investment in me.
Well, Gary, Brother Alvin, you know, I really believe that is a very good solution. But at the same time, I believe it's easier said than done. Because there are so many ways to keep feeding it to our young. You know, we can turn off the TV, we can turn off the radio, but we got the internet, social networks. You know, it's being fed so many ways through so many different pipelines. You know, at one time there wasn't that many pipelines. Today there are just too many. And so to block it out, hold on, Gary. Albert. To block it out or protect your child from it is a big task in itself.
I knew one thing, Tony. Somebody loved me.
I understand that, Albert. I'm not disputing what you're saying. I'm in 100% agreement. It's just that the task of stopping it, okay, we have to open up a better communication level. Actions to prevent it from reaching our TVs, radios, social networks, I believe a serious action would have to be taken. And I think one of the biggest ways to stop it is boycotting. Because the people who are pumping this are making money. You boycott, they start losing money. They don't want to lose their money. They will come to the table and negotiate. They will blink. I'm going to go back to Brother Gary and get his view on this. Brother Gary, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I was listening to what everybody says, and once again, I agree with the very strong points that are being made tonight. And even what you just said about it being a tough task, it is, you know, and I had a rough life myself, but I don't know. Growing up, I always had in my mind that I wanted to be something when I grew up. I don't know whether you're born with it or what, but I always said, oh, I want to be this. I want to be that when I grow up. It's always something positive. And so I don't know where I got that drive. Always had a drive, regardless of what I've have gone through. And, you know, I think that kids nowadays are going through a lot more than we went through in my generation, which is, I'm not that old. I'm going to be 48 in March. But, you know, what I see in the education system, because I do go into the schools and I do the youth motivational speaking, and I mean, it's just, you know, the attitudes of the youth today are just total disregard for life, for everything. You know, I mean, it's just something that I see all the time. And I'm trying one week at a time to make a change, and that's the only thing we could do is not give up, you know. Because many of us were told when we were young, you're not going to be nothing, you're going to be in jail, you're going to be this. But again, we were broken down, which I agree with the other brother says is not the way to do it. We got to start building each other up and stuff. And it starts with youth also. We have to start building these youth up and letting them know what their potential is, you know, and what doing positive things can lead to. We got to show them. We got to take them on the journey when they're young, you know, on what the positivity in their life could lead to. We got to show them this.
All right. I'm going to go back to Greg. But before I do, Ms. Cindy, could you just repeat that question, that last question you asked again, because I wanted Greg to answer that.
I simply want to know how can... I'm here. I simply want to know how can we turn this thing around in terms of the mindset of our youth. Because, again, African-Americans are 70% of the prison population. And most of what's being explained to me is that they're emulating what they're hearing and seeing via the media.
Okay. Greg, are you there?
We can't control the media, but how do we control, or what's the answer? How do we reach out to our young children who are losing their lives to incarceration as a result of trying to take on this false lifestyle, if you will.
The one thing that I know for sure is two very important questions that I always have to ask myself, and I'm kind of sort of steering in the direction of raising, I don't want to say raising children because I don't have any. I'm 43, I don't have any children by choice, but influencing young people. Two very important questions. The first one is, have I been sold a lie? Because anyone can sell me anything that they want to try to sell me. But the second most important question is, have I bought a lie? And that's where the problem is. We have bought a lie way too long in this country, from the time we come out of the womb until typically the time that we die. And we allow our children to be exposed to media, which is very easy. You just simply cut your cable off. You simply stop buying mainstream magazines. You simply, if you have to stop listening to mainstream radio, you do it. You have to take drastic measures if you want to get drastic results. And that's the only simple thing I know to do, and I did it by example. I quit TV in 98, and my life changed radically as a result of that. And back to these role models that they feed us, there's a white rapper we all know named Eminem. I happen to be white. There isn't a damn thing about him that I want to be or aspire to be, because every time he opens his mouth, nothing spews out but garbage, and he's making billions of dollars doing it. I don't fault him for that. I'm not saying it's right, but if he can make a buck, he's going to make a buck, and the people that are promoting him are going to continue to do it. But he doesn't show me anything that makes me say, when I grow up, I want to aspire to be Eminem. There's nothing about him. He's hollow, and he's empty, and he's doing the same thing that all these other people are doing.
Big point, Greg, because anyone who's giving a positive message to you in the entertainment field does not get a lot of recognition. Okay,
right.
You may hear it here and there, but it's not as popular as the negativity, because the negativity brings the dollars in to the record company. Everybody's mic is open. Feel free to chime in, but before you do, anyone that's listening, we got about 11 minutes of live show, so you have 11 minutes to call in. After that, it will be taping, and you will not be able to get in. And our call-in number is 424-258-9271. Press 1. I know you're in the queue. You can join in our conversation. We're talking about racism and prejudice and who are the worst offenders. And we're also talking about some of the sources of where this comes from. And, I didn't expect the show to go down this road, but I'm on this road, and it's okay. The mics are open. For real, it's okay. I'm so grateful that everyone that's on the line called in tonight. But I'm going to go back to Doc. And, Doc, you have anything you want to chime in with?
No, I think that everybody has hit it on the head. I don't have much to say. I mean, what can I say? Everybody has done a fantastic job tonight. I couldn't have said it better. What can I say? You know, I teach about this stuff, but they're the teachers tonight. I'm sitting back, man. There's nothing I can say.
Right, right. So you're in pretty much agreement with all the comments. Because as I'm listening to everyone tonight, one of the things I'm sorry, Doc. One of the things I'm gathering is everyone seems to be on the same page. Okay, and I have to say, you know, because Greg, you know, he said he was white. Color's not really making a difference because it goes back to what you always say, Doc. We're the human race.
That's right.
Yeah, Greg's a brother. Yeah, Greg ain't nothing but a brother. That's all Greg is.
That's it. Nothing but a brother. Nothing but a brother.
Well, hold on. Miss Cindy, I know you're
Greg
ain't
doing no white stuff. Greg just better bring it on home, that's all. Greg just in the family, that's all.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
good enough to meet Miss Cindy. Are you still there?
I am. I got to get going. I just want to say great show. I love it. I love your topics. Greg, you're right on point, and you're at home.
Yeah.
That's right. You're at home. I love your commentary. And I just can say, the only thing I can say is just great, great show. And it's amazing because, again, I don't think it has anything to do with color. I think it has a lot to do with mentality. Because, again, you've proven that here on the show. You just came in, joined in, and it really didn't even matter. You took on the same – you have the same viewpoints.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
Greg,
think that – go ahead.
No, Greg, as long as Miss Cindy here, you with the sister. You with a sister.
Hey,
stayed with Miss Cindy.
I've called into her show before, and we've had some good comments, and she's an excellent moderator. She does a real good job of keeping things diplomatic and kind of going straight, but she lets things go and lets it unwind and lets it kind of go where it is, but she keeps it pretty tight.
Yeah, you all right with her?
Yep.
Yeah.
All righty. You gentlemen have a great evening, and thanks, Tony, for having me.
Be blessed, Miss Cindy. Thank you. I'll be talking to you this week.
All right.
Okay.
Hold on,
Brother Alvin wants to speak. Go ahead, Brother Alvin.
What I gained out of this is I learned from everybody. You don't learn by over-talking. You learn by listening. You learn by saying that I don't have all the answers, but I'm willing to listen to other people who've experienced it different and learn from that, agree with them, and saying, hey, let's roll up our sleeves and get busy.
That's right. It's time to get busy. That's right. Thank you, Brother Alvin. Greg, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? I mean, what do you do? Do you have a show on the Blog Talk Network?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I've got a channel on Blog Talk. I don't really do a lot of my own shows. I'm more of a guest. I do a lot of calling in. I do mostly podcasting, which means I host my own media, record my own stuff, upload it, you know, 2-3 times a week. But I stay real active on Blog Talk and build alliances and very active in these types of conversations that most people are just simply they just don't have the balls. They just don't have the balls to get involved in these types of conversations because they're afraid. You know, they're used to being beat down. They're used to being told what to say and what not to say. And I just try to keep that dialogue open. And the thing that these powers that be are afraid of the most, this is what they are truly afraid of when they go to sleep at night, is they are afraid of a fully aware and awake and conscious and enlightened individual, especially when two or more of them are gathered of a different race and culture. That scares the shit out of these people. And what we're doing tonight to them is the worst thing that we could be possibly doing because there's some unity in what we're doing. Yeah, we have our differences. Yeah, there's things that happened to us differently when we grew up. And no, not all of it was good, but we can come to a commonality. And I'm not talking about a utopia tomorrow. I'm simply saying we're sick of you shoving your boot on our throat and keeping us on the ground. We're ready to stand up and knock you out because we're tired of getting kicked around. And that's just where we have to come from.
And I agree, okay? Because I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Absolutely.
Listen, you are always welcome here, okay? Always. Please come back. okay, because I'm blessed to have a mindset to do shows like this because, as you said, there are topics that I bring up that folks don't want to talk about.
Exactly.
And I basically agree that it is out of fear or
yep.
you're not going to go along with what my view is. Well, bring your view anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I just ask that you bring it with an open mind.
Yeah,
okay?
Because
what I heard here from Alvin and Doc is, you know, there's some listening that we can do to learn. And we can get another view that may enhance the view we already have. You know, and folks seem to be afraid of that, as you said, Greg. You know, they got to be tired. You know,
yeah.
they got to be able to lay down, like you said, at night with a different kind of mindset. Like, wow, there's some folks who don't believe that nonsense. Because there's a lot of nonsense out there. And it's all, to me, a distraction from what's really there. Because we live in a world of distraction. We get distracted by stuff that's right in front of our face, and we don't see it. We're blind. We blind ourselves because we allow ourselves to be distracted. You said you haven't watched TV since 98. Wow.
I mean, I do watch, you know, an occasional movie, and if I go visit family, you know, I'll catch some shows. But for the most part, no mainstream, you know, TV, and it does make a difference. The most important thing that I want to leave you guys with, and I really do appreciate the open mic, and this applies to all of us, about this media suppression that's going on. And this is another quote: not only have we forgotten who we are, we've forgotten that we have forgotten. And that is the true definition of repression. Because when you know who you really are, you don't let people kick you around. You just don't do it.
Exactly. Brother Gary, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I had a short poem that I wanted to do. It probably only take a minute or two, possible.
Sure, go ahead.
It's called An Atmosphere of Hatred. When will there be equality for all mankind? In the 21st century, in America, it's still impossible to find. Without it, America will never be a great nation. The hatred and racism goes from generation to generation. However, it is true that all men are created equal. I will reiterate this point, and as for this poem, it made me the sequel. Racism is caused by fear and ignorance. Either you're a racist or you aren't, you can't sit on the fence. You are not judging me by the content of my character. To you, me being black is a negative factor. There is so much more to me than meets the eye. Can you please give acceptance and tolerance a try? Racism is not just between blacks and whites. Everyone in America is entitled to equal rights. So please educate yourself about other cultures and races. We are a nation of people from many different places. We can accomplish so much if we just respect each other. This should be taught by every father and mother. If we cannot accept each other, problems are created. It can only lead to an atmosphere of hatred.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Gary. Listen, every one of you for calling here tonight. Those who were listening, I hope you got something out of our discussion tonight. I really believe it was a powerful discussion. And we still got a long way to go, but the process starts with awareness, discussion, and action. It's not hard to do. All it takes is an open mind and some willingness to change. Because in order for us to come together as a human race, these are the things that we need to start practicing. They're not hard, it's very simple. We live in complicated times. We're a people of, we make it complicated for ourselves. We need to stop that. Because the solution is basically us. And those who keep us at each other, we can stop them. We can set a plan. We can put plans in motion and begin to turn things around. because where we're headed in society today is not good. We got to stop looking at each other and gathering from just how a person looks that they're a certain way or they think a certain way. Because how wrong we'll find ourselves if sometimes we just talk to that person and realize, wow, he or she is not what I thought. Or because of their color or nationality, wow, he or she is not what I thought. We got to learn to start giving each other a chance and not allow others to make us believe something about someone else that isn't true. I want to thank all my callers for calling in tonight. I'm your host, Tony Nix, founder and president of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children. You can find us on Facebook or you can go to www.enoughisenoughsaveourchildren.org. Become part of our group. Our children are dying. Gun violence is a crisis in America. We need to address this. It's up to us to save our own men, women, parents, grandparents, uncles, aunts. This is up to us. Again, I want to thank everyone for calling in. And listen, if no one told you today, God loves you, and so do I. Have a good night. Talk to you next Sunday. Good night, gentlemen.
Good night.
Take care.
God bless.
Wow.
God bless.
What a show. Couldn't have did it no better than this.
It don't get no better, brother.
No, for me, Doc, this was a God-motivated show. And like mine, you know, before I go real fast, you know, I don't believe in coincidence. I really don't.
Nope.
You know,
I don't
believe
either.
In a God. I believe in a God that he brings folks together for a reason, not a coincidence.
And for us, no.
Okay. Listen, everyone have a blessed evening. Good night.
Good night.
Together, I've been kind of protection that's all around.
There's only three.